This is the South Washington County Bulletin Podcast for May 2nd. I'm Managing Editor Patricia Dre Bussey. For this week's show, I talked with mayoral candidate Myron Bailey about why he's running for mayor and why he favors bringing more retail to Cottage Grove. And also with Cottage Grove Community Service Officer Gail Griffith about the big change to this year's National Night Out celebration. But first, here's a news summary. Home Depot announced Thursday that the Cottage Grove store was among 15 underperforming stores nationwide that would be closed. On Friday, the store was closed to the public for markdowns, and it will reopen Saturday to begin liquidation. The store will stay open as long as it takes to sell its remaining merchandise. A company spokesman estimated that would be about 7 to 8 weeks. The closure affects 108 employees, many of which will be moved to one of the store's other 23 metro area locations. This is the first time ever that the home improvement retailer is closing stores. The Cottage Grove location opened in 2002, and it will be the second vacant spot in the shopping center located southeast of Highway 61 and 80th Street. The neighboring CGAA Bingo Hall vacated in April. Cottage Grove City Administrator Ryan Schrader said, "Home Depot owns the building and will still be paying property taxes on it. The city's real loss is the jobs and products the store provided," he said. Unrest over the school colors for the new high school being built in Woodbury is growing. Three residents stood up at the April 24 school board meeting to say they were disappointed that the board had altered the color scheme selected by a committee of community members. The committee had selected navy blue as the dominant color, with accents of red and white. But the school board decided to change the dominant color to red, with accent colors of white and blue. The board made the change because they said navy was too close to Woodbury High School's color of royal blue. Resident Brad Allen, who was a member of the committee that chose the colors, suggested the school board go with the committee's second choice of the color scheme, black, gold, silver, and white. District administrators are discussing whether to bring the issue back before the school board, the district's spokeswoman said. A group of between 15 and 20 protesters interrupted Newport City Council meeting Thursday, demonstrating against Police Chief Feed Musnix and demanding his removal from the department. Newport resident Paul Hansen organized what he called the Rally for Justice, enacting the help of some non-Newport residents from the group Communities United Against Police Brutality. Hansen is claiming that he is being harassed by Newport police. The group held signs outside City Hall and later interrupted the meeting by marching and chanting, "If Paul don't get no justice, you don't get no peace." For more on these stories and others, pick up the April 30 edition of the South Washington County Bulletin or go to our website at www.swcbulletin.com. Next, I talked this week with Cottage Grove City Council member and mayoral candidate Myron Bailey. Here's our discussion. First of all, let's start out talking a little bit about your background. How long have you been on the council?
I've been on the one term, which is I'm on my fourth year of my first term.
Okay. And what's your day job?
My day job is I'm a district manager for Casual Male Retail Group, which is a men's big and tall clothing store.
Oh.
I have 14 stores that I oversee, kind of technically in the upper Midwest, not just the Twin Cities. I have some outskirts stores, too.
Cool. Have you always worked in retail?
Yeah. Actually, I have. Huh. I have. Prior to that, I worked for Payless Shoe Source as a district manager and a manager for them. I actually worked for them for almost 23 years.
Wow.
So, yeah, long stint.
Yeah, that is a long time to be at one job. And the first time that you ran for the council, what was it that pushed you to run, or why did you want to get more involved?
Well, I kind of have a passion for being here, growing up here, and so love the community, raised my family here, and really wanted to get more involved into the future of what's happening within the community. There was things at the time, you know, from a development standpoint, planning, needing more retail, commercial, industrial kind of things to, and personally speaking, level our tax base, mm-hmm. So that we're not all paying, our homeowners aren't paying the biggest share of the taxes. So in order to do that, you really have to generate additional businesses to come in and help level that off. Mm-hmm. And so that was really a big focus point. I think that we've got kind of an untapped resource down here. I think, you know, a lot of our people end up going out, you know, other communities, Woodbury and such, for their shopping or business, you know, actually to go to work. And I'd like to actually see if we can make some of that happen here so that we don't have to go too far from home, save on travel costs and all that kind of stuff.
Do you think having all the retail in Woodbury hurts Cottage Grove?
It does. I mean, there are businesses, obviously, that are in Woodbury that, due to its proximity to us, would not locate in Cottage Grove. But there are also businesses that are not located in Woodbury yet that we could attract to Cottage Grove. And I've been very much involved with some particular developers and such to talk to those kind of businesses, get our staff involved, getting contacts, having meetings, to try to entice and talk to these businesses about, you know what, it may cost you more to locate in Woodbury than it would be in Cottage Grove. We got a great community here, lots of benefits, lots of things that people don't know about. And with the new bridges now, I guess you want to talk about Hastings Bridge, both Bridget and the Wakota Bridge, and the possible commuter rail in the future, I think we're going to be a huge, we have a huge opportunity for some additional retail. So.
Well, I'm going to just jump ahead to one of the questions I was going to wait on, but this kind of is a good segue into the one of the biggest issues that we've had in Cottage Grove, the promise of a proposal for a retail development over at the Cottage View Drive-In site. Now, you've been a proponent of that in the past.
Yes.
Are you still, I assume you're still in favor of it?
I am still in favor. And I do understand, though. Obviously, growing up here, I do understand that there's a nostalgic value. And, you know, going to that theater since a little kid and playing on what used to be the outside play area they used to have there and all that, totally understand that, you know, a lot of people that have grown up down here have been a part of that, understand that, you know, that we don't want to lose that piece of our childhood or for our kids to lose that. There's, unfortunately, though, as the owner has specifically told me, he is not upgrading anything on the site. He is not upgrading any of the film projectors or anything like that. As a matter of fact, to the point where, yes, they are open this year, but if the film projector goes down, they're not replacing it. So, I mean, we could literally be open part of the year and not the rest of the year. The biggest issue or the concern that I had is when this initial proposal came to us, it was touted the Walmart proposal. Mm-hmm. But what people, and you have the people that want Walmart and you have the people that don't want Walmart. Even though Walmart was proposed for this site, I wasn't necessarily looking at the Walmart as the benefit by any means. There's a whole bunch of different retailers that they've already talked to, that they've got letters of intent for. And a lot of these retailers, either one, they're not in Woodbury, or two, if they are in Woodbury or other communities, they're those kind of businesses that Cottage Grove have been asking for. Our community survey has asked for them. People come up to me and say, hey, we need, you know, this, this, and this here in Cottage Grove. What are you going to do to get it here? That's why I've been involved with this particular developer. Just so it's very clear, the Walmart, as it is proposed for that site or was proposed for that site, is not a guaranteed deal by any means. Matter of fact, the whole project is just kind of, it's out there. It's progressing. We're working with this particular developer, but nothing is concrete yet. Do I think that a Walmart will locate in Cottage Grove at some point in time? I do believe so. They're very interested in locating in Cottage Grove. Do I really want to see them on the drive-in theater site? No, I would not. There's a couple other businesses who we've talked to and that I've, and the mayor and I actually have had some conversations with that we would like to be there in place of this, of a Walmart. You know, Walmart is probably has a place in Cottage Grove. We just maybe wouldn't want it there. So that's why I wanted to make sure everybody was clear, because I know when I was a proponent, everybody was so focused on the Walmart. Mm-hmm. I was talking to the developer about, okay, what are the, put the Walmart thing to the side. There's other things out there that I'm more interested in other than the Walmart. Talk to me about those. And that's what they were talking to me about. And I was excited to hear some of the businesses they were talking about specifically.
And I'm sure you probably can't name the, say what the business name is, but can you tell people what the types of businesses are that you're more interested in that you think might locate there?
Well, there is a department store. Okay, so I know a lot of people have talked about a particular department store that they like in our community survey, and they are talking to them. And there's an electronics store that a lot of people have talked about that they like there. And then, you know, another one is that a lot of people have talked about restaurants, and specific restaurants in some cases. And just about every specific restaurant that most people have talked to me about, or even in some of the surveys, have been spoken to or have signed some type of letter of intent to go on this site if everything pulls together. The biggest issue is you got to get a big box user of some type, whether it's, you know, they use Walmart as the beginning, not necessarily Walmart, but it could be two department stores, it could be a department store and something else, and some big box in there. And once they got the two big ones put together, then you will see everything fall into place. Then you'll be able to see, we'll be able to release or announce to the paper, here's the businesses that they've got lined up to come to Cottage Grove. And it's not businesses that we have here currently. We're not looking at, you know, raiding, you know, one area of town to put businesses in the other. That's not our intent. But our intent is to supplement what we have with some new businesses, and also to drive traffic into our town. I mean, we've got a great business community here. They've been supportive of, you know, the Strawberry Fest and things like that. We're hoping to see if we can supplement that without taking business away from them. Mm-hmm.
I know the staff here would be very happy if there was a restaurant that served burritos at it.
I think that's one that's on the list.
Well, I'll go back to a more general question. How do you see a mayor's role in the city?
I think the mayor is an ambassador. You know, as we have royalty, you know, I get to tell between the two, being at the Strawberry Fest and dealing with the Cottage Grove royalty. You know, our queens and such for the royalty go out as ambassadors of the city. I think the mayor is the same. I think that they're a face of what the city represents, the community as a whole, the feeling of the community. I do believe, you know, that it's important to have your fingers on the pulse, so to speak, of what people need, want, their concerns, you know, whether it's everything from public safety roads to, you know, a place to go get my burrito, as you say. Mm-hmm. And really to be able to communicate and articulate to that, whether it's public speaking, you know, ribbon cuttings. There's a lot of ideas that I have once I get into hopefully becoming the next mayor of Cottage Grove, where I could actually have, like, little sessions. I'm totally available for people to come talk to me. I love having conversations like this, mm-hmm. you know, and I've had a couple people mention, well, maybe you should have, like, Coffee Corner at Caribou or mm-hmm. something like that for the, mm-hmm. you know, Mayor's Corner or something like that, or even podcasts like this on a more consistent basis. I think that would be fantastic, because I think the more we can open the doors of communication between our elected officials, frankly, and the community, the better off we're going to be in the long run.
During the time that you've been on the council, what has been the toughest decision that you've had to make?
Well, there's two things. One, when I first just got on the council, we had an issue with our police chief, public safety director, where they had gotten into some issues with possible drunk driving kind of things, leaving the scene of an accident and all that. That was extremely difficult because the individual was a great individual, and we had to be careful with what we were saying. There was a lot of, it was during ratings time sweeps, and so it was top of the news and across the metro, and it was real difficult dealing with that, right, coming out as a new council member. And we ended up, obviously, that individual did leave the city of Cottage Grove, and very happy with our new public safety director, Craig Woolery. That was probably the real toughest time, because you had to kind of, you couldn't say a lot of stuff, and you couldn't, you know, you had to, you listen to both sides, and you knew stuff that, you know, people come up and talk to you, you know, about this, that, and the other thing, and you know more details than you can share, of course, because it's, you know, public-private kind of thing. That was probably the toughest. The other one is kind of ongoing right now a little bit, and that has to do with, you know, our water issue. And, you know, it's still out there. It's kind of hovering. You know, 3M has been good to work with. You know, they've been overall very helpful in getting information to us, you know, wanting to be supportive of the concerns of our citizens about the safety of their water. But we're kind of at the beginning of that right now, really. I mean, they're just about to start into the, you know, the phase of cleanup, and, you know, we're going to continue monitoring. So, I mean, That's probably a concern that I have now, but also will have going forward. We just need to make sure that we continue to monitor our water to make sure that it's the safest to drink and that people feel comfortable not having to worry about putting filters on their home water systems or whatever. So,
do you think 3M should pay to filter the water?
Well, it'd be great if they would, but I do understand that there's issues with doing that. And not even just issues for the city of Cottage Grove, but, issues across the country, frankly. I mean, there are a lot of things that are in our water right now that isn't, quote-unquote, the fault of 3M. Mm-hmm. And so some of them are much more harmful than the chemicals that are in, that in our water from 3M. Our biggest issue that we have right now really is still a lot of unknown on these chemicals and, what is a safe level. And that's probably overall the biggest concern I have is if you look at the history, and I've done some research, I don't know all the details of 3M, but some of the research that the health department has done on some of these health-based values is they fluctuate quite a bit. As they get more knowledge and as we gain more information through the help of 3M and the health department and the pollution control agency, we'll be able to get a better handle of what should the health-based value be. Would I like to have all of our water in some type of water treatment facility? Oh, absolutely. Do I think that at some point in time, we may need that in Cottage Grove? Not necessarily just because of the water issues with 3M, but, I mean, our city and our plans in the future are to have some type of a water treatment facility one way or the other, so... Mm-hmm. Whether it's sooner or later, I guess, depends on what happens.
Well, speaking of tough decisions, Mayor Sheely said that she foresees that there are tough decisions ahead, tough budget decisions ahead,
yes,
based on the declining housing market and home values, which ends up meaning less tax money, mm-hmm, to the city. Right now, if Ryan Schrader is predicting 2009 is even rougher than this year is budget-wise. Do you think that the city should cut? Should they raise taxes? And if you think that the city can cut back on something, what is that they could cut back on?
Okay. Well, there's a couple things in that question. Yeah. One is, yes, there is. There could be a concern with our budget going into 2009. And actually, in talking with Ryan, who's very good with the numbers, him and Ron Hedberg, our financial guy with the city, is 2009 may not be as tough as 2010, mm-hmm, because it's really everything, the way taxes work or taxes collected, is about a year behind. So it'll be 2010 before the real effect happens, I believe, and that's what they tell us. Should we raise taxes? I hope not. Not in the environment that we're in right now. I think that we've given staff direction to hold the line basically to where we were last year, and then come back with us with what you can do, what kind of cuts that you would need. I do not want to see any cuts in public safety or and when I say public safety, police, fire kind of things. Mm-hmm. I think that we have, that's a base that you have to have in your community. I believe overall public works is very important. We have such a great program here. These guys do a great job on keeping our roads and our parks up to date. And, as we keep adding more parks, it does become more difficult to manage that. So cutting back on public works would be difficult. Now, are there areas where we can shift things out? We do budget. We do have a plan that goes out many years. So there may be a few things that we planned. We were planning to take money from next year, i.e. 2009, and use it for something as part of our budget. But if we have to push that off a year or two to get it done, because we just, to keep the line on taxes, hold the line on taxes, then we'll have to do that. We're actually just kind of starting the budget process right now, so there hasn't been any discussions specific to, do we have to cut this? There are some positions that we currently have that are open right now within the city. Public works positions. Les and his team down there have done an outstanding job of covering. You wouldn't be able to tell, which on one side, I guess, is a good thing. On their side, they're going, give me more people. But they've done a real good job at that, and, we're going to have to watch that. But um, I, you know, we haven't done it. I know there's been a lot of cities out there talking about hiring freezes, mm-hmm. you know, layoffs and things like that. We have not had that discussion, not at all, actually, at a council standpoint. And but everything's on the table. I mean, we have to look when it comes to, you know, what positions are important, infrastructure needs that we're going to have that need to get done, and I guess we're going to have to wait and see.
Mm-hmm. There are kind of two building projects that people talk about in Cottage Grove, a community center and then a new city hall. Do you think, do you see an imminent need for either of those? And
You know, it's interesting. Yes, I do. The question will be the timing because of the economy. I can say right off the bat, and I am a very big supporter of a community center concept in Cottage Grove. I've done tons of research, visited multiple sites around the metro, talked to facilities, the ones that are the managers that are running these facilities. I've talked to some private partner type situations where, you know, whether it's a and not saying that this is who we're talking to specifically or anything like that, but, you know, like a Lifetime Fitness. Mm-hmm. About a year or so ago, we actually talked to a company called Advanced Fitness. Mm-hmm. You know, could we do something with a Y or something like that? You know, those are all options that are available to us. They're, you know, growing up here, part of our survey talks about the small town feel. Everybody likes the small town feel. We heard that loud and clear through the most recent survey we had. When you go to small towns, really, you go to small towns, they have community centers. They may not be huge, but they have community centers. So I look at this as kind of a message. And the message that we did get from our citizens on the community center is there is support for a community center. The question really boils down to what goes in it. And we do have some ideas based on past surveys of what could go in it. But I would personally, as mayor, commission a task force to get together from all different groups within the community, seniors, because I've talked to them about their needs, mm-hmm. the school district, frankly, on their needs and how they could work with us together, along with our various organizations that we have in the city, and figure out what do we need in a community center, and then put something forward. And when I say put something forward down the road here at some point in time, would have to be a referendum. Mm-hmm. I would not, and that we couldn't, financially do this anyway without putting it up to the voters, because it would involve some type of a tax increase in order to support a community center concept. And it depends on who you talk to on, you know, what kind of support and how much are you willing to pay. And that's really where we need to get to, I think, is we need to figure out, you know, do we have this public-private partnership? What do we want in a community center? And then figure out a number and then what the cost would be to our taxpayers, and then pose it to the community. If the citizens of Cottage Grove come back and they say, you know what, it's too expensive, can't do it, I'll support that. But in this particular case, I think it's important to get the process rolling a little bit more than it has been. It just seems to simmer back there, and people talk about it, but it never moves forward. I want to move it forward and make a point of having this discussion open in the community and let the citizens of Cottage Grove decide if they want this in the future. As your comment related to City Hall, would I like to see a new City Hall public safety building? Oh, yeah, definitely. More so, frankly, the public safety side of thing than City Hall. And I've had, and I don't know if you've had the opportunity, but I've had the opportunity to be downstairs, whereas our police officers are, and frankly, it's embarrassing. Our officers are in closets. Our facilities down there are not the best working environment. We ask our police officers to do a lot for us, and in my opinion, we owe it to them to give them a good facility to, you know, office in or their locker rooms or the meeting rooms and things like that. And again, you know, I know this is it's a money thing, and we do tuck money in away every year, slowly but surely, to make sure that we, you know, at some point in time, we could possibly build the City Hall Public Safety Complex without a referendum if we needed to at some point in time, but it would down the road a ways. But as you know, costs rise every year, so every year you put some money away, it gets more expensive to do it. So I would support it, but we also have to figure out, you know, how other than the public safety, you know, what do we really need from a city hall concept? It would be nice, but there's two separate things, I believe, over there that are needed. One is, and more importantly to me, is public safety and the facility that they're in. Not to say anybody upstairs in City Hall's not important, but when I look at the facilities between what we have upstairs versus downstairs, it's quite dramatic.
Mm-hmm. And let's switch gears a little bit now and talk about Strawberry Fest.
You're awesome.
Chair of the Strawberry Fest Committee.
Yes.
What's new this year?
Well, what's new this year is we've done a couple things. One is we, in the past, we used to do like a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and this, of course, is Father's Day weekend in June. And this year what we've opted is we're not actually doing a Strawberry Fest sanctioned program of anything on Sunday. And a lot of that is due to the fact that traffic was always down on Sunday because of Father's Day, I believe. People are at home with their dads and so on. So we thought we'd put a lot more focus into Saturday, all of our energy and, you know, money and such into Friday night and Saturday. And so what's different this year is we have a big name band coming on Friday night called Killer Hayseeds. Some of the other things that have changed that I can share with you is we have a the Police versus Fire softball game. That's always been a good hit. They used to do it out at all the way up until last year out at Lamar Fields. We're actually moving them over to the Gray Cloud Fields. So that they're actually on the festival site. So once you're done with watching the Police versus Fire game, you can actually go over to the carnival, or you could come down and you know, grab something to eat at our food vendors or listen to some great music. We've got we have a tractor pull, which is a kiddie-type tractor pull that we're going to be doing in the afternoon, which is new, and that is sponsored by Anchor Bank, actually. And which has been great, and they've been supportive of that. That's something new, and there actually is going to be ribbons and trophies and that awarded. So that's something that's new. Another big thing, though, that's changed this year is our parade. And in the past, everybody's aware that our parade has went from Park High School down to basically Jamaica and 80th or somewhere in that area and then ends. Because of all the construction going on between the ice arena as well as the high school this summer, the ability to have it go up there is extremely difficult. So we've moved the parade. We'll be starting about in the area of Crossroads Church. We'll be going down Jamaica, which is north on Jamaica, to Indian and going east on Indian until you get to Gray Cloud Elementary School, and it'll basically end there. And there's, I can't remember the street number actually offhand that's there. So it's a little bit shorter parade, but we do believe, one, it kind of brings people around to where the festival is, which, of course, is at Kingston Park. But it also gives us the opportunity to get a little bit into the neighborhoods. We've heard a couple people make comments to us that, you know, we like it where you could actually, you know, we could go sit in the front yard kind of thing and be along the street. And the street width is good, so we have to worry about that. And we do have a variety of bands coming this year, too, which is really nice. Again, every year we seem to get more and more interest in our festival. I know that Justin, who's handling our business expo, Justin has got over 70 vendors signed up already for our business expo. We've got a waiting list getting in on food vendors. And really what we're doing this year is really trying to pick and choose our food vendors so that we have a variety of food and not, you know, four pizza places and so on. So it's going to be, you can really try, you know, test your palate out at the festival this year. And then, you know, we got the, I do need to mention those specifically because, you know, other than, you know, some of the new things that are going on, you know, we've got a good car show this year happening, and it's being sponsored by American Motorsports Bar and Grill here in Cottage Grove. And we're trying to bring everything a little bit closer together. One of the things that we've heard, we learn every year, we heard from our citizens, is that, you know, everything's kind of spread out. Mm-hmm. We're tightening everything up. We're bringing it in closer so that you basically walk and you can walk from one section to the other. And it you won't have to go a long distance, you know, between the bingo tent to the car show to the business expo to... we have a second stage this year, actually, too. We've got a main stage that'll have music all day on Saturday, of course, Friday night, and then Saturday night. I'll mention that in a minute. And then we have a community stage sponsored by Afton Apple, which will have general things happening on it, which will be over in the middle. We're going to do the business expo like in a square, and it'll be in the middle of the square, and it'll be really neat, I think.
So will that be where the community members, like maybe local dance studios?
Absolutely.
That kind of stuff?
Yeah, we're trying to, and anybody listening, we still have some spots available yet. Okay. So if there is anybody out there, you know, a community group that wants to perform or have some fun and, you know, do something on the main stage, we basically have broken it down into about half hour to hour intervals. We could do hours, but we're thinking half hour intervals to share your talents or whatever with the community on that community stage. And then one of the other neat things we get to say, the good news is this year, is we have strawberries. Afton Apple has been gracious enough to provide us with how many strawberries we need. And so people could come out to the Strawberry Festival and purchase strawberries at the festival at our information booth. And so it's really a neat thing, and we're excited. We've heard last year we had people coming from a ways away, northern Wisconsin and such, believe it or not, to our festival. And they're like, hey, where's the strawberries? And it's like, yeah, we're having the strawberry fest, but we don't have strawberries. So luckily we're going to have strawberries this year. So the other, I don't know if you're going to mention this stuff, but I do need to say that sponsoring events is crucial for us. Mm-hmm. And I just want to put out there that we've had some excellent people step forward and offer sponsorships within the festival this year. And a couple of them that I do want to mention, as I mentioned, Anchor Bank was one of them for the new event. But the bingo tent this year, which is going to run all day on Saturday until about 7, I believe, Saturday night, that is being sponsored by UCare. So we had them step up as a sponsor, new sponsor this year. Werner Electric, who's our new company coming into the industrial park, has been a great addition to our community. We're real excited to have them. They are sponsoring the information booth, which will have all the details where you buy strawberries, buttons, T-shirts, you name it. It's going to be fun. On Saturday night, 3M is sponsoring our main band on Saturday, which is Casablanca Orchestra. So they're doing that, and that's a major sponsorship. And then we get to have fireworks this year again, which was a big hit last year. And that's being sponsored by Renewal by Anderson. And so those are some of the real big sponsors. And then some of the other general sponsors that are important to mention, you know, the St. Paul Park Newport Lions, which is running our beer gardens. Mm-hmm. They've been a gracious sponsor, too, in providing us funds other than them running their own issue there. We also have I got to look here real quick just to make sure I don't forget anybody. Otherwise, I'll be in big trouble.
Yeah.
I'm looking through my sheet here of all the stuff. The pet show. We have a variety of, we have a great pet show. It seems to be a big hit every year. We do have the following sponsors that are covering the pet show for us this year, and that is La Pooch Salon, the Park Grove Pet Hospital, Amy's Pamper Pet Parlor. Boy, say that fast a couple times. At the Cottage Grove JC's and Chuck and Don's Pet Food Outlet. The other couple just general things I should mention is we will have higher balloon rides again this year, and that's being sponsored by REMAX. We do have a Children's Build-It Workshop, which is sponsored by Home Depot. So, again, a lot of community involvement, and I can't stress it enough that if there is a business out there that wants to be involved, there is still sponsorships available out there for people to get involved and become a part of the Cottage Grove Strawberry Festival, and we can work ways of making it happen for you. We want this to be a true community festival with businesses being involved and in the parades, and you know, and really tout Cottage Grove to everybody around us.
Will political campaigning be allowed at Strawberry Fest?
Political campaigning is allowed. People can be in the parade, obviously. So that's an option. And I do believe Justin has told me that there might be a few people that have registered to have booths at the Business Expo. That is open for people to do that. I know the mayor's doing her bocce ball tournament, so I've already heard that we got a group coming from Hastings. I actually talked to them last week. That are excited to come back and try to beat the mayor and her group. Usually I'm so busy that day. there won't be much politicking by myself just because being the president of the festival, it's obviously a real busy day for me. Mm-hmm. But an exciting day and fun. But there'll be a lot of people, I'm sure, out.
Yep. All right. Well, it sounds like a fun event. Well, I'll definitely clear my schedule for it.
So. There you go. That'll be good. Yeah, and do so. I mean, this festival can only be as successful as the people that come out, and we have an extremely dedicated group of volunteers that, you know, have really taken this festival to a new level. And we hear that from people. And when you have businesses and you have food vendors and you have newspapers and media outlets contacting you directly to say, hey, we want to be involved, we want to have a booth, we want to do this, you know that you've started to create something special. And what a better way, again, to tout the city of Cottage Grove and, you know, our community and our family values and everything here. So I think that's a neat thing.
Myron, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you for having me today.
I appreciate it. Next week, I'll talk with Myron Bailey's opponent in the race for mayor, Fred Luden. Finally, Cottage Grove's National Night Out celebration this year will look a lot different than last year's. Instead of having one big community celebration, the police department is encouraging people to have neighborhood block parties. I talked with Community Service Officer Gail Griffith about the change. Here's our conversation.
Well, why did the police department decide to forego the big citywide National Night Out event this year?
Well, for years we always just kind of did the one citywide event to celebrate National Night Out. In the last couple of years, we did the citywide event, and then we tried to encourage people to do their own block parties as well. And so I think the last 2 years we had, 10 block parties each year, or right around that number anyway. And so really I think we're trying to get back to what the roots of National Night Out is supposed to be. And what that is to get neighbors out in their own neighborhood to kind of meet each other. And, you know, the theme is kind of to say goodbye to crime and drugs and violence in your neighborhoods. And one way to do that is for neighbors to get to know each other and to kind of work together and be the eyes and ears of their neighborhood. And they can do any number of things that evening, but we kind of want to get people out to get to know each other right in their own neighborhoods. So doing a citywide one, there's some benefit to that, but that kind of takes people from their neighborhoods to one central location, and we're going to try to get people to, you know, come out where they live and get to know those folks more. So,
What does it take to plan your own neighborhood block party? What's involved in that?
You know, it's really very simple, and it might scare some people off, but we would encourage, and we're kind of in this recruitment phase right now to get people to have parties this year since it's really pretty new for us to do the neighborhood thing. But really, there's just a form if they want to officially register with us that they're going to have a block party, and I can talk about that a little bit more. But there's a form that they would fill out that would just say what kind of neighborhood they're in, how many people they might expect, what hours they would have their party, and that kind of thing. And then they can work with either me or with Diane McCabe. She's the Community Watch Coordinator, and she kind of handles block captains and neighborhood watch groups. But they could contact either one of us to get more information about it. But you know what? The parties can range from an ice cream social to a full-blown barbecue to a, you know, they could have lemonade, you know, just lemonade. They could do whatever they want, whatever that specific neighborhood wants to do, they can do it, and we would support that, and we would try to send police, fire, we're going to invite the mayor and city council to come out and visit these parties. We would give them, we're planning so far to maybe come up with some sort of like gift baskets that we could give the parties that have committed for the year. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of things that we have going on right now that we would love to talk to people about if they're interested in planning their own party. But they can really use their imagination and do whatever they want.
And what about size? I guess do most people just plan one for just their block, or do they plan for like the surrounding three blocks, or how do you determine what your neighborhood is, I guess?
And you know what, that kind of varies too. Like, mm-hmm. there are some senior communities where it'll be like a townhome kind of area, and so they have a bunch of townhomes that will all just come together as one. There are neighborhoods where it is just, you know, a block. There are some that throw it, and they throw out an invitation for, you know, several blocks around them. So really, we don't have any restrictions on that. Mm-hmm. Whatever they want to do, obviously they'd have one central location for it. But if they want to reach out three, four blocks away, they can certainly do that.
What ideas or suggestions do you have for people who are planning a neighborhood party on what kind of activities they could do? Or have you seen anything creative done in the past?
You know, some people, well, one thing that we're going to do this year is we're going to have a fill the backpack campaign. And what that is if block areas, or if there's a certain person who will commit to having a party in their area, a block party, we would ask them, and our crime board, Cottage Grove Crime Prevention Board, is going to supply the backpacks. So we would give these backpacks to the parties, and then they could ask their neighbors who are coming to the party to bring school supplies to fill the backpacks. And then we can later collect the backpacks and deliver them to the local elementary schools here so that kids would have some, you know, some school supplies. Some people collect food for food shelves. Some people don't do that at all, which is fine. You know, they don't want to participate in anything like that. Some people put out little kiddie pools. Some people are really extravagant, you know, and order Johnny jump up things and or whatever those are called, yeah. Those blow up things. And some people keep it kind of just simple. They may barbecue and just kind of hang out and talk. Some people may want to invite somebody to come there and kind of give their group a talk. You know, they do tug of war. Some people do coloring contests. I mean, there's, you name it, and they can do it. So whatever they feel like, and you know, neighborhoods are all different. Mm-hmm. So some are more senior. You know, seniors are in some neighborhoods are very young with lots of little kids. And so there's quite a variety of different things that people could do. So, and you know what? If anybody had any questions, I'd be happy to talk to them and give them suggestions. And I know Diane McCabe would be as well. So,
okay, neat. And you said about 10 neighborhoods held these parties last year. Do you have a target number of how many you would like to see do it this year? Or?
You know, for sure, we'd love to see it at least doubled. Mm-hmm. And really, that's even quite a small number when I've been to some meetings with people throughout the state that throw National Night Out, you know, celebrations in their community. And 20 is a pretty small number, really, for our size community. But that would double what we had last year. So for our first year, we'd be thrilled with that. Certainly, if there's more people that would come forward, we would love that and we would support that in any way that we could. But we're kind of hoping, I think, our goal this year is to double what we had last year and see how that goes.
And you mentioned that you're trying to maybe put together some gift baskets if possible. Is the city doing anything else to try to encourage people to do this? Or I guess what kind of support will the city provide?
Well, in addition to maybe, you know, sending out a a squad car or the fire department, we plan on having cotton candy. So we're going to try to get to every party that we can, or as many as we can, depending on how many we have, give out free cotton candy. We'll probably hand out free helium balloons to people. The baskets, we're kind of tossing that idea around now, but one thing we've thought of is if you commit to a party and you're going to do a barbecue or something, we would fill that with, like, all the paper products, you know, like maybe, you know, napkins and plates and forks and stuff like that. Target is a national sponsor of National Night Out, and so Target donates things. So we would maybe try to see if we could get, I don't know what Target would donate. We haven't met with them yet. But, you know, if we could get things for each party to hand out, from Target as well. In the city, you know, we have our canine officer, Officer Vandervoort and Blitz. So we'd have them out. We'd hopefully maybe get our officers out on the bike patrol. I know some cities have their fire department come out, and sometimes they will hose the kids down or let the kids, you know, hold a hose or something, spray some water or something like that. So we plan on those things. We're hoping every single party will get a visit from you know, one entity or the other. But we're really hoping at least for the cotton candy to get around to everybody and then some of these other things. So
sounds like fun.
Yeah, you know, we're really hoping that people sign up this year. And it's really new for us, too, not to have that big citywide celebration. So we really are hoping that a lot of people will have interest in this and want to throw their own party and see kind of how fun that is. So, and it really benefits everybody. They get to know their neighbors and they get to, you know, we get to interact with them in a little bit of a different way, you know, and it's kind of one of those, you know, like National Night Out says, take the night back or whatever, keep the criminals out of our neighborhood. So everybody wins in that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I assume that these forms are available, you may have already said this, but on the city's website, is that right?
You know, I'm not sure if that actual form is or not. I would have to check. But they can certainly either call me or Diane, or they can come up here to the police department kind of during regular business hours and get a form, or we could mail one out to them or whatever would be most convenient.
Okay. Is there any other way that people can get involved in planning for National Night Out?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we're kind of throwing around having a recruitment type picnic, and we've tentatively picked the date of May 22nd, which is a Thursday. And we're kind of looking at Highlands Park. We'll have to see if that park's available. But we're hoping other cities have done this in the past, and we would hopefully get the word out there and get people to come to this picnic and have some hot dogs and chips and whatever, and we can kind of tell them about that. And we'd have forms available for them to fill out if they want to commit to a party that night, and we can tell them all about National Night Out. So we are going to hopefully soon get that information out about that picnic, and maybe people would come to that. It'd be awesome, and we can get the word out that way as well.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for talking with me about this. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks for coming in.
That's all for this week. If you have any comments on this podcast, please email them to editor@swcbulletin.com. Thanks for listening.